supplymybusiness.co.uk, where businesses in Kent go to do business.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk and ChannelRadio.co.uk and 107.9 FM on this Tuesday, the 3rd of November. And we are joined by our next guest all the way from Dublin, University College Dublin, Barry Brophy. Hello, Barry.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm really well, thanks. What's it like over there in Ireland at the moment? It's really foggy over here.
It's foggy here as well. Yeah. November is kicking in, I think. It always goes fairly pear-shaped in November, in my experience.
But yeah, absolutely.
Very nicely, yeah.
Absolutely. But thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome you onto the show. Why don't you start off by telling the listeners a little bit about what your role is and what you do there at University College Dublin?
Okay. I sort of have two hats. One is private, one is within the university. But for about 15 years, I've been coaching people and making presentations.
Right.
A lot of companies in the sort of technology sectors, because my background is engineering, so I was always able to speak their language. But in parallel with that, I've worked in the university, again based in engineering, and just bit by bit I started to sort of indulge my passion for helping people to explain what they do more clearly to an audience that doesn't understand it, and then bit by bit we started developing sort of master's courses in this topic. We call them technical communications, but the phrase, like a lot of phrases in this area, presentations, for example, is a misleading phrase. It connotes kind of, you know, lecture theatres and lights and stages and stage fright, but actually it's really a conversation. But technical communication is really about presentations, and it's about taking what's in your head and trying to get it into the heads of the audience, and using tools like stories, analogies, demonstrations, examples, pictures, and even occasionally graphs to do that. And now we have, and I'm delighted to say, not just engineers, but we've people from all over the college. So we've got vets and physiotherapists and statisticians mixing together, which is great, because when they sit together in groups to plan a presentation, they have to kind of pre-filter what the hell they're talking about before they present it to the larger audience.
Absolutely.
And it's been very instructive as well since I started doing this stuff in the college, for going outside and seeing the differences between the way people present at a younger age and at an older age, and how they actually lose a bit of their creativity. I'd be interested in your take on that. But I think when you become a specialist, you know, in a particular area, you tend to sort of focus in and speak a lot of the same language to a lot of the same people, and it stops you from thinking outside of your own little box.
Absolutely.
Clearly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's funny you should mention that. When we chatted initially about you coming on the show, we talked a lot about this, didn't we, Barry?
Yeah.
The importance of being able to present yourself as a business person or as an expert in a particular field is absolutely crucial. And so many people are fearful of doing such a thing. But you're also right. A lot of people that have a particular specialism tend to get bogged down in the words and the meanings and their internal ivory tower type approaches. And it can leave a lot of other people completely flummoxed by what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. And I, the interesting thing for me in recent years is something that I've become more and more interested, not by what people do wrong, but why they do it wrong. What are the subtle inhibitions that work on people's psyche? So the example you chose there of people speaking the wrong language or speaking specialist language, you'll notice in conversations people do all the right things, and they will reach for analogies or examples, or they'll describe their company. I don't know, we're a cross between Microsoft and Mr. Kipling or something. Now, obviously, that's a slightly lavish analogy, but they'll throw something out there. Like last week, for example, I was doing a training course with people from Dawn Meats, who work through the UK and through Ireland, and they're, you know, a large sort of meat provider. And one guy, I asked him what jerky was. I don't know if you know what jerky is.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of a chewy beef snack, dried beef snack.
Yep.
And he said, it's a bit like, you know, you're sitting at your desk. I was kind of trying to figure out where is this used, or who consumes it, or when. And he said, like, you're sitting at your desk and you're a bit bored and you want something tasty but not something filling. It's a bit like having a packet of Skittles. So he was drawing an analogy between beef jerky and Skittles. Now, obviously, in the boardroom, Dawn Meats planning, you know, presentations, they don't draw analogies between their meat and Skittles. But actually, it was very informative for me, because it was kind of pointless, sweet, chewy food that distracts you.
Yeah.
So these kind of little analogies and examples, they tend to sort of be produced organically in conversations.
Yeah.
But when you sit down to formally script, this is our company, this is what we do, this is our mission statement, you tend to speak in the general, in the abstract, rather than in the specific. And
yeah.
It seems like it's too trite to use an analogy like that. So you tend to leech all of those things out of your communication, and you end up communicating next to nothing, unfortunately.
Absolutely. It's really interesting that, as I mentioned to you when we chatted before the show, that many years ago I actually worked as a speaker on the international circuit. And my style of presentation, if you can call it that,
okay.
It is very much like that. And I found that I actually even made up words sometimes.
Right.
You know, but I'd reach for an adjective that wasn't a swear word.
Okay.
I couldn't find one. And not deliberately, but, you know, kind of stick two words together that didn't go together to make up a word. And hardly anybody ever objected to that. And a lot of people would say, that's interesting. What's it mean? And you go, I don't know. I just made it up.
And would you then kind of use that? Once you grab that word in the heat of the moment, you would kind of maybe repeat it a few
exactly,
times.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. You'd then use it for the rest of the thing, and people would kind of nod sagely at where you'd planted it.
Yeah. It can be a difficult sell, you know. Mm. But if you look again at conversations, people never speak in the abstract. Like, if you meet a friend and they say, I was really ill, they never leave it at that. They say something like, I didn't work for 2 weeks, or I haven't played golf for a month, or I lost 6 pounds.
Sick as a dog, yeah.
It's always specific instances.
Yeah.
Same with holidays. You never just say, the weather was clement, we had a good time, we experienced feelings of well-being. You get into specifics straight away. So it seems to happen when people sit down to plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're set by caution, and they just think, we can't say that about our company. It's not strictly speaking correct, and they end up saying nothing.
Exactly. And that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about, because it's something that drives me nuts. You're right. People try to pre-prepare a speech, and they write it down in longhand in the kind of words that they wouldn't use normally in everyday speech.
Yeah.
It's what I call the unaccustomed as I am to speaking in public speech, you know, which is nonsense. You wouldn't talk like that normally. But people try to, and they try to use long words that they wouldn't normally use and stuff like that. And to my mind, that's what makes a presentation fail. Because, you know, it is clearly written. And then in order to deliver it, they have to read it. Or worse still, try to memorize it.
Yeah. And it becomes a cyclical kind of a thing, because if you use PowerPoint to write everything down that you want to say, then you need PowerPoint to remind you of all of the things that you wrote down that you wanted to say.
Mm.
And the other thing as well is, and I can kind of have sympathy with this one, is you like a presentation, you get no marks until the clock starts, so to speak. It's like an exam. You might have been studying for 3 months, but you're still sort of scoring 0 2 minutes before the exam until you turn over the paper. So I think people have this desperate desire, don't they, to somehow latch what they're going to say, to get some of it down.
Yeah.
I mean, even when I was sort of, you know, preparing to talk to you today, I'm thinking, listening to podcasts, I'm thinking, what kind of things might come up? And you end up scribbling stuff down because you'll forget to say it, or that might be a good example or whatever. There's this tendency to try to pre-latch everything you're going to say.
Yeah.
And although you do have to plan what you're going to say in a presentation, it's not the exact words. It's just the, I'll tell this story here, or I'll use this example there. And then your conversation energy is allowed to sort of be released on each individual topic.
Absolutely. I don't know how you feel about this, so we'll go with this, but this is my take on it. Many years ago, I started to teach public speaking because I had a bit of a reputation for doing that, and I got loads of business and made quite a bit of money out of doing it and stuff like that.
Right.
And people then came to me and said, how'd you do that? So I kind of developed a little training program for teaching people to speak in public. And my method was this, and I'd really like your take on this. What I said to them is, you need an opening, a middle, and an end.
Right.
And the end has to be a call to action.
Right.
Yeah. So why are you telling people this? What do you want them to do at the end of this? And that's how you finish your talk. You start the talk by highlighting something that you're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And then the middle bit is the stuff you want to tell them.
Yeah.
And my approach to this was to say the two important bits are the beginning and the end. Once you've worked out how to start and how to finish, the stuff in the middle is should be the stuff that you know that you would tell anyone if you were down the pub, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
And I don't know what you feel about that as a structure, which isn't much of a structure, but that's kind of where I go with it.
No, it is completely because, and I'm not just agreeing with you for the sake of agreeing with you, but obviously there's a truisms of the way these things work that you experience and you reflect back. Often they use this sort of mantra like, say what you're going to say, say it, say what you've just said. And that leads people to say to think it's just repetition three times.
Mm.
Whereas actually, it's what you're saying is those three different sections have subtly different roles.
Yeah.
So, I think this reflects what you're saying. I would say, the end is where you want to take them.
Mm.
But you need to justify that. Mm. And in order to start justifying it, you need to get their attention and their buy-in. So, there's those three sections.
Yeah.
The example I actually always use is a phone call. Like, say a functional phone call, a phone call that is there to impart information. So say you rang your wife, for example, and you said to her, listen, it's me, I'm ringing about the party tonight.
Mm.
So immediately you've got their attention, you've set a context, I'm going to deliver some information, I need to tell you something, I'm not just ringing for a chat.
Yeah.
So then you go on to the who, what, when, where, why, and you say, listen, I'm not going to be home from work in time, I've got this to do, that to do, so I left a present beside my bed in the locker, will you bring it along and I'll meet you at the party? And then at the end, the last thing you say before you hang up is probably something like, so, well, you'll say goodbye, how are you, or whatever.
Mm.
But you'll say something like, so whatever you do, please don't forget the present.
Mm.
Now, if you just rang up and said, there's a present beside my bed, bring it to the party. In other words, if you went straight to the conclusion and put the phone down, apart from being incredibly rude, you wouldn't have justified your conclusion. So you would get a phone call straight back saying, why are you late? Where are you going to be? Why do you want me to bring it? And so on.
Yeah.
So it is this idea of a conclusion that, as you say, tells the audience what you want them to do, or at least in your head, you know what you want them to do. Maybe it's to arrange a follow-on meeting, or to take a business card, or to go to your website. But then that everything is built around leading up to that, and you do something sensible in the introduction that gives them a reason to care. So yeah, I would totally agree with your broad categories, although we might use different terms to describe them.
Yeah, sure. Oh, that's cool. That's gratifying to know. I just want to focus briefly on now the thing that you started off by telling us about your background as an engineer. And of course, there is this generalism that techies and engineers tend to be the worst people at communicating because they tend to be geeks or whatever.
Yeah.
And my own background was originally in technology, and certainly back in the day that was reasonably true to some extent. And it wasn't that people couldn't speak, per se. It was that when they did, nobody understood what on earth they were talking about because they kind of talk in technology terms all the time. I just as a quick story, many, many years ago, I was in the audience at a presentation, and one of the speakers didn't show up. And the event organizer said to me, could you stand in for a while? And I went, yeah, whatever. And he said, right, the presentation is on RAC-F. And I went, well, what's that? And he said, it's a security product. And I went, well, I don't know what it is. And he said, but that's what we're talking about. And I went, well, I don't know what it is. I can't do it. And he said, well, I've got his notes. And I went, well, that is completely pointless. So I'm not going to read his notes, you know. So I basically got up on the stage and said, apparently the next thing is about RAC-F. I haven't got a clue what it is. Anybody in the audience knows, shout it out now. And we kind of just started like that. But from your point of view in talking technically and doing technical presentations, what in the business we used to call a talk to inform, what are the pointers, what are the things to beware of, how is it best to structure that kind of thing?
I think the more I do this, the more I realize everyone is technical in the sense that everyone is trying to bridge a gap between their head and the head of the people they're speaking to, and there's always a difficulty in doing that. And the tools that you use to do that, I've found to be always the same. Specifically, analogies to make connections between what you understand and what the audience understands. Examples, lots and lots of examples, stories, always stories and demonstrations. Demonstrations are probably the most underutilized of all the tools.
Mm.
And people say, well, it's okay for a techie person, you've got something to describe, like an iPod, this is our new model. But rarely do you actually have something to show.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're doing a new road project, you can't show the road, you can't bring people the road. But you can always show things that explain what it is you're talking about.
Mm.
So, I mean, even simple stuff like, you know, like you know, if you like, I heard about a medical presentation last week where the person had a sort of an orange and a bag of sugar, and they were saying this is the size of the tumor at different stages, and people could pick up the bag of sugar, and you know, it just made a much more powerful impact.
Yeah, absolutely.
I saw another one recently where this was statistics again, very complicated maths, but brilliant demonstration where the presenter got everyone to flip a coin. And the great thing about that is everyone has to take the coin out of their pocket, flip it, and yet it's not intrusive. You're not putting anyone on the spot.
Yeah.
I think it was 15, 16 people, and he said, right, who got heads? Right, mm. 7 or 8, you're still in this. And they go again, 3 or 4, go again. And eventually got one guy with 5 heads, and he said, right now, 5 heads in a row, that's amazing. You know, the chances of that happening are very rare. But they're not that rare when you see that everyone else got different scores and different answers.
Mm.
And he used that idea, that demonstration, to explain how the media misrepresents medical information. Like they'd say, you know, this particular thing causes cancer, but actually they'd ignore a lot of the surveys that either contradict that or just don't conclude anything at all. And so it was a complicated statistical point, but he used this very simple demonstration to bring people along with it. So examples, demonstrations, stories and analogies, and of course images, are the tools that I get people to use over and over again.
Right.
But one of the things, Paul, actually just to mention, because it is something that I've, and again, I'd be interested in your take on this, I've come to realize, and again in recent years, that you talk about public speaking, and you say, I want to be a better speaker, I want to be more confident, more fluid, more this, that, and the other. I want to be like that person, I want to be like that person. But I've kind of come to conclude that really listening is the problem, not speaking. In other words, we're all able to speak. You know, we all do it differently. But even as I'm talking to you now, my hand is kind of waving in front of my face,
yeah,
a natural kind of expression of what I'm saying. Facial expressions, eye contact, all of that kind of stuff.
Mm.
But it's understanding of the listening process that's missing. So
yeah,
people say things like, oh, I've got to cram 10 years experience into 10 minutes. It's totally the wrong way to look at it. The audience, if you look at it from their point of view, what are they listening to?
Mm.
So if you met somebody again in a conversation, what do? You might say, I'm an engineer, or I'm an accountant, or I run my own company. So you're actually answering the question in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
If they want more, you can dig in. But if you define your content from the user in rather than from the expert out, it changes your way of thinking. So you get like Steve Jobs's, you know, 1,000 songs in your pocket. Like that nano iPod or whatever it was a lot more complicated than that.
Mm.
But to the user, it's 1,000 songs in your pocket.
Yep.
So when it comes to technical presentations, I always push people to define the audience and where they are in the communication chain and what's their next step. And their next step doesn't involve mathematical equations or theories or formulas. So what analogy example can you bring them on to get them to the next step?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, from my point of view, one of the things that I've always considered about this is unless you're doing an 8-hour workshop lecture on a particular topic,
yeah,
you're normally doing 15, 20 minutes, maybe an hour as an introductory talk. You can only get a very small number of points across. So to my mind, the point of doing something like that is to whet people's appetite for what it is you're talking,
yeah,
about,
yeah,
and to give them some resources to go away and find out more about it.
Yeah.
And really, you only need 2 or 3 points that you're going to bring out, because most people will only remember 1 or 2 things. And if you're not careful, one of the things that always happened to me is they always remembered my jokes and,
right,
and not the thing I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But at least they're thinking, yeah, he's a good guy, he's an interesting guy, he's a, you know, and
yeah,
it predisposes them maybe to make that phone call. But yeah, yeah, no, I totally agree.
Mm.
I think it's this idea that, like, even I get students in the college and they make a presentation on their thesis,
mm,
and they use the same title for their presentation as for their thesis, this,
yeah,
4-line beast of a title.
Mm.
And I say, what are you doing? He says, I'm curing cancer. You know, you're not literally, but you're curing cancer with peanuts or some trite catchphrase that gets the attention of the audience. That's not reasonable to put on your thesis or to put in a paper, but it's reasonable in an audience of classmates to create curiosity and cause a bit of a stir. So yeah, exactly, who's there and where are they in this communication chain?
Yeah, I have to admit I'm a bit of a fan of that. I call it the Freddie Starr ate my hamster headline.
Right.
Yeah, and for talks, I mean, rather than thesis, I've never written a thesis in my life, but you know what I mean, rather than a formal document or something, as a headline for a talk, I do things like that, because it catches people's attention, and it catches them unawares, and it makes them sit up and pay notice, because it is out of the ordinary.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, it's what's appropriate for that audience at that particular point in time.
Mm. Barry, we could talk about this for a long, long time. It's a fascinating subject, and you're a fascinating person to talk to about this. Sadly, we're running out of time.
I understand, yeah.
Give us a shout for how people can find out more about you and the work that you do, your website or Twitter handle or Facebook page or whatever you want to give us in terms of finding out what's what.
The simplest one is just barrybrophy@ucd.ie. If you just email me or even Google me, you'll catch the UCD links. There's some good. We've done some research on the use of storytelling in presentations.
Okay.
Why people, for example, will use stories in conversations liberally and not use them in presentations, which is something else that's very, very interesting. So barry.brophy, B-R-O-P-H-Y, @ucd.ie, or Google me through barry.brophy, and you'll get me anyway through there, through Twitter as well.
Fantastic. We've actually got a link to both your personal and the university website on the Kent Business Radio website, and that will stay there. I think we're going to get you back at some point in the future and explore this story idea in greater detail as well.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Because that fascinates me, because we are storytellers by nature, really, aren't we, people?
Yeah, until we present, unfortunately, but we are.
Exactly. Cool. Barry, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Great
it's been
fun.
An absolute
thanks,
pleasure
Paul.
To hear from you. Enjoy the rest of your day over there in Dublin, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, cheers, Paul. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Bye now.
All right, bye.
That's Barry Brophy from the University College Dublin, a specialist in presentation and talking.
And I love his accent.
Yeah, it's really, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm going
to tell you a story.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you a story.
It is all about stories, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
My background of PR, one thing I say to all the customers, what is the story? What can we tell people?
I've been known to tell a story or two.
I bet you
have. I've been known to exaggerate occasionally as well, and just a little bit. I've told you a billion times. It's just one of those things. It's just more, you know, in my background of speaking, I've sat through so many presentations that you just think, oh, kill me now. I just can't take this any longer. Barry's absolutely right. We get this funny approach to doing formal presentations that seems to think we have to write it all down, dot the I's, cross the T's, know everything you're doing, da-da-da-da-da. And that's why people get so terrified about speaking in public. They think they're going to say the wrong word or anything, you know. But if you chat to someone, you come out with all kinds of nonsense.
And our conversations are changing, I think, with social media, online, 140 characters. We are changing the way we speak anyway.
Absolutely we are. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, Homo sapiens have always been storytellers. And before we could read and write, everything was passed down. You know, our cultural heritage was passed down by word of mouth in stories and archetypes and all kinds of things. And even today, 100,000 years on, there are still stories in circulation that are based on original tribal stories that happened many years ago. You know, it's a lot of religion is based on the same issues, you know. It's the stories that we've told over and over again, and quite often we update them for a modern audience, but the underlying archetype of the story is always very similar. And, you know, the earliest thing ever written in the English language, which is Beowulf, is a story. It's a story that unfolds, that takes place over the whole of Northern Europe with a lot of characters and tells you everything you need to know about that culture. It's very clever as a device, if you actually read it, as a way of transmitting in a very absorbable way all the cultural information you need to know about your tribe. That's fascinating stuff.
Well, we start it from the age of don't we?
Exactly.
Read our children's stories.
Exactly, yeah. It is fascinating stuff. And Barry's absolutely right. And that happens until the moment you get up on a stage to talk formally, and then you get all nonsensey about it, and you start talking nonsense. It's amazing.
And now there's more video. You know, it's the same environment, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not just about standing up in front of people. It can be doing a webinar. It can be doing a video.
A Periscope, even. Video. Yeah, absolutely. And it is interesting that, you know, I've seen formal presentation workshops where you just think, no. And the worst thing, the thing that, I mean, I'm sure some people like this, but it drives me nuts, is if I have to sit through somebody doing a PowerPoint presentation who's just reading the slides to me.
Yeah.
I don't need you. I can read myself, yeah? Even without my glasses, I can read your slides. So
I went
why
to a
you...
conference last week, and I actually, it's the first time I've actually got up and left, because that's exactly what... No engagement.
Yeah.
And I can read that.
Yeah.
I want to know the story behind it.
Yeah, exactly. A fascinating topic. We could talk about it forever. Sadly, we're kind of running out of time. I've had loads of tweets while we've been on the air. My old mate Paul Clark at Stopwatch Hospitality has reminded me it's my birthday present this Sunday. Because I'm going truck racing at Brands Hatch with the lovely folks at Stopwatch Hospitality. And he has put up a photograph of me and some, how can we put this, young ladies that we met the last time I went racing with him. We'll say no more about that. Stopwatch Suites, S-U-I-T-E-S, is them on the Twitter. And I am really looking forward to next Sunday, where I get to go racing, because I haven't been for a while. And he's put some other fatuous things on the Twitter timeline that you don't want to look at. We've had loads of tweets. Charlotte Gardner, Fair of Face Paint is her Twitter handle. That's a nice Twitter handle, isn't it? Fair of Face Paint. Hi, Paul. Good luck with the show. Good luck today without the wonderful Jill Serkin. Are you sure? I'm not quite sure how you'll cope. We'll manage. Don't worry. So thank you, Charlotte. Who else we got? The Hunting Edge. Interesting show today. And we're looking forward to going to Kent B2B tomorrow, and we'll see you there. Could you give us a shout or a mention? And that's from Andrew at The Hunting Edge. The Hunting Edge on the Twitter. And who else we got? Oh, Jill Serkin. She's posting pictures of her breakfast. Oh, look, here we go. Muffin Eggs Benedict she's having for breakfast at the moment. And I can spot some hash browns in there as well. So thank you for that, Jules. And Penelope James, who we played earlier, has said, thanks for playing the interview, Paul. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah, we enjoyed listening to it as well, Penelope. So thank you for tweeting that. I'll tell you what, Pen, do you want to read an email while I sort out the rest of my tweets?
Yep, we've got one from Invicta Chamber Networking about their after-hours networking, 6 p.m. till 7:30. No need to book, just turn up, where you can find your next new clients. They're very popular and highly successful casual networking events coming to you soon. So we've got quite a few through November and into the 1st of December. So Tuesday the 3rd at Conningbrook Hotel Ashford and the Nucleus Business and Innovation Centre Dartford. Then across to Hythe on Tuesday the 10th of November. At the Mercure Hythe Imperial Hotel on the seafront there. Tuesday the 17th of November, the Abbott's Barton Hotel at Canterbury. And also on the 17th of November, Dickens World in the west of the county at Chatham Maritime. Tuesday the 24th, Ramada Dover Hotel. And also on the 24th, the Farmhouse Westmorling. And lastly, 1st of December, the Conningbrook Hotel again in Ashford, and again Nucleus Business and Innovation Centre Dartford. To review all these and book, go to kentinvictachamber.co.uk/events or email events@kentinvictachamber.co.uk or call 01233 503 838.
Cool. Paul Clark has tweeted, he's being facetious now, he's gone, oof. Okay, Vanilla Webb, how do you pre-prepare a speech? He says, how does this happen? Speech completed before you've started your preparation. Yes, I'll explain on Sunday. We've got a plea here now, and I want you all to pay attention to this, please, from Sally Marshall. And she's Sally D. Marshall on the Twitter. And she says, Vanilla Webb, listen to the Business Bunker show. I've been challenged to increase my Twitter followers by more than my mentor before Sunday night. Can you help, please? Yes, I can.
What's the gap?
I don't know. She hasn't given me the numbers, so we're just going to have to go with this. So I want you all of you out there to follow Sally D. Marshall on the Twitter, please. And whatever the gap is, maybe Sally, if you're still listening in, you could tell us how many you actually need. Maybe she doesn't know. Maybe it's a race. Maybe she's not even aware how many her mentor's got, so she won't know until Sunday night. So let's follow her, please.
Not to have a goal.
Yeah. So give her a follow. Sally D. Marshall on the Twitter.
I'm following.
Lisa Settle has also tweeted and said, I think we're lucky that Jules wasn't on there today. She would have been beside herself with that lovely Irish accent. I think you're right there. I think there was a bit of that in the studio as well, Pen, wasn't there?
Yes.
Yeah, actually. Cool. What else we got? The lovely Sally Laker, Sally for Cakes, has tweeted in to say that she's listening to the Business Bunker show. And we've had a tweet that just says, ding, Business Bunker. And it's from S7K for Men. And their Twitter handle is S, the letter S, the number 7, the letter K, Men. S7K Men. And I believe they're a men's giftware supplier. So do check them out on the Twitter, give them a follow, and find out what they're offering you. Do keep your tweets coming. We've got loads of tweets still to read. I've got an email here. There's a Digital in Kent conference, and it's taking place on Thursday, the 12th of November, and it's at the Orchards East Malling, and it's from 9:15 till 5 p.m. Digital in Kent is a very high-quality event for anyone who is responsible for marketing in their business, at whatever level that is. It's Kent's leading digital marketing event, bringing you the very best speakers and information, ensuring you stay well ahead of what is happening in the digital world. If you want to know any more about it, there's a website which is digitalinkent.co.uk. That's digitalinkent.co.uk. Or you can email for info at info@bestbusinessevents.co.uk. That's info@bestbusinessevents.co.uk. Pen.
I've got one here for employment law breakfast seminars across the county. This is supported by Girlings. And we've got Ashford, Thursday the 12th of November, 8 in the morning till 9:30 a.m. Canterbury, Tuesday the 17th of November. And Sandwich, Thursday the 19th of November, 8 till 9:30. It's a free breakfast seminar for HR professionals, managers and business owners, delivered by Girlings employment law specialists, Carl Vincent, David Morgan and Louise Purcell. The seminars are designed to give you the latest information in workplace law and will be held in Ashford, Canterbury and Sandwich. Full details of the topics covered and venues are on the website at girlings.com. Places are limited to book your free place. Please email your name, company and seminar choice to seminars@girlings.com.
Fantastic. I've had a response from Sally about the numbers.
Oh.
Whoa, this is ambitious.
Really?
She says, VanillaWeb, the gap is just over 3,000.
Ooh. Ouch.
But I've reduced it by 80 so far today. So, nice one. Let's keep going. Only 2,000 and odd to go. 2,820 or whatever it is. Do give Sally D. Marshall a follow on the Twitter. She's in desperate need of some followers to meet that kind of target.
Help her out.
Yeah, so do help her out. And Hunting Edge has retweeted another tweet and said, oh, I forgot to say, could you mention we have a canine sector on the website, given listening to Adrian earlier. So that's the huntingedge.co.uk. So do check them out. It's a hunting, shooting, fishing website. They sell equipment and stuff like that. But they have a canine section on their website. So do have a look at that. Kent and Victor Chamber have some networking events coming up. These are breakfast networking and include a full English breakfast, and it's members of £15 and non-members of £20, and they take place between 8 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. and the next one is on Wednesday the 11th of November, and it's at the Thistle Brands Hatch Hotel, and the guest speaker is Linda Garcia from Aluxy Consulting. That is followed by a breakfast at on the 12th of November at the Grand Hotel Folkestone. And then the guest speaker is Ben O'Toole from Crisis Mitigation Solutions. And then the same talks on Thursday the 19th of November at the Conningbrook Hotel Ashford. And then on Wednesday the 25th of November, Canterbury Golf Club, and you can also use the driving range. So, eating a sandwich and driving at the same time. Bacon sandwich and driving. What's not to like? Thursday the 3rd of December at the Hollywood Bowl, Maidstone. And again, the guest speaker is Linda Garcia from Alexi Consulting. And then Wednesday the 9th of December back at the Coniston in Sittingbourne. And then Thursday the 10th of December at the Elwick Club in Ashford. So do check those out. You can find out all about those by going to kentandvictorchamber.co.uk and looking at their networking events that take place all around the county all the time. You can add or top up your link on the world's most expensive link.com. Our most recent entry is sweets.co.uk in 218th place. Very quickly, the world's most expensive link is a little clever idea run by Alan Noak, where you pay any amount of money you like to put a link to your website on there. And the money goes to charity. And it's one of these ladders. So the more you go up the ladder, i.e. the more money you put into it, the more exposure you get, and the more money is collected for charity, because then people have to outbid you to go above you in the list. It's a really clever idea. The easiest way to find out about it is go to the website and have a look. It's the world's most expensive link.com. So do check that out. All the money goes to charity. It's a fabulous idea. And the last donation was made to the Pilgrims Hospice. So do check that out. Do you know what?
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show where we give you an update on news and information from the Federation of Small Business. And I'm going to start off with a returner. Andrew Knott has rejoined the FSB as a membership coordinator, and we're really pleased to have Andrew back. Welcome back, Andrew. You can get a hold of Andrew by calling him on 07747 114627. That's 07747 114627. The easiest way to do it, though, is to follow him on the Twitter at aknott20. That's AKNOTT20. aknott20 on the Twitter. That's Andrew Knott, membership coordinator at the Federation of Small Business.
Lovely. I've got a few events here as well to mention.
Cool.
FSB networking on Tuesday the 10th of November, 6 till 7:30pm at the Hilton Maidstone Hotel, Bisted Road. Then there's Young Businesswoman Sparkle at the Castle on tomorrow, Wednesday the 4th of November, 9:30 till 2, Western Hangar Castle, Stone Street. Sparkle at the Castle is an exciting new event where you can network with other like-minded young businesswomen and meet our inspiring network of business mentors over lunch who could provide top tips for your future. You will also have the chance to grow and develop your own skills through a number of fun and informative workshops.
Fantastic.
Carry on.
I've got one, and then you can do one.
Okay.
I want to tell you about Small Business Saturday. Now, Small Business Saturday takes place on December the 5th. Prior to that, the FSB has a number of free networking meetings in which we've invited you to come along and hear about what we're doing to support you as a business on Small Business Saturday. The whole thing is free. There's no money involved. You don't have to do anything, but you do need to participate on the day in order to get publicity for your business. Yeah. And you need to come along to one of the networking meetings to find out how to do it, to get your free posters and stickers, and to find out what we're doing. And here's when the free networking events are taking place. There's one at the Medway Innovation Centre, Cityway, Rochester, on Wednesday the 11th of November at 5:30 in the evening, and that is hosted and presented by Zoe Cairns. There is one at Fruitworks, 77 Stour Street, Canterbury, on Thursday the 12th of November from 6 to 7:30pm. That is hosted by yours truly, Paul Andrews, but I'm also joined by Simon Cook, who is the leader of Canterbury City Council. And Simon's going to be doing a brief introduction about how Canterbury City Council are supporting independent and small businesses. So do come along to that. There's one for the South East Kent region, Hythe and Folkestone area, at Western Hangar Castle, the gorgeous Western Hangar Castle, Stone Street, Western Hangar. That's on Monday the 9th of November from 6pm, and that's hosted by Sarah Paul. And there is one in Maidstone on Tuesday the 10th of November at 6pm at the Hilton Maidstone Hotel, and that's hosted by Ivan White. if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/small-business-Saturday, you can find out all of the events, and you can click on the links to book your free place on any or all of those events. Do come along. I've got a bit sassy about this recently. A lot of small businesses are saying to me that they're struggling, and I understand that, especially in the retail space in High Street. I understand that. That's why we're doing this. If you don't come and you don't participate, you're not going to get anywhere. And I know you're busy. That's why we've held them in the evening, so that you can come along after work. There's coffee and nibbles, coffee and biscuits at most of these events. Do join us for an hour or so and find out how you can join in on Small Business Saturday on December the 5th. And it's all completely free for you to join in. Pen.
Got another event in December, Thursday the 3rd, FSB Skills 3030. It's 12:30 till 3:30 at Longfield Academy, Main Road, Longfield, Kent. And it's putting 30 businesses and 30 students thrown together at the first FSB Skills 3030 event. If you're looking to recruit, care about your next employee and the future workforce, then this event is for you.
Fantastic. There's a pension auto-enrolment roadshow in Dover, and that's taking place on Tuesday the 24th of November from 9:30 to 10:30 in the morning, and it's at the Best Western Plus Dover Marina Hotel and Spa on the waterfront there. The postcode is CT179BP. Again, all of these events can be found listed on the Kent Business Radio website. Under FSB events, there is a page that continually lists these events, and it is regularly updated as new events come in. They're all added to the list. You can book your places there. You can find out more about it. You can understand more about what's going on. Have you got any more FSB news there, Pen?
Just to say, I think it would be good to go to the website FSB News to learn a bit more about the business and education survey. It's offering it wants to survey more employers and businesses. And then the other one is subsidised training for small charities. Training providers have been invited to bid for funding to provide subsidised training to small charities with an annual income of up to $1 million. The training will be delivered to eligible charities February to June next year. And the successful providers will share $100,000 in total and will also be required to produce a free fundraising resource for the small charity sector.
Fantastic.
So check that out on the FSB website.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. bad news now. Tax changes may force personal service companies to close. This is typical politicians. Up to 45,000 personal service companies may be forced out of business as a result of proposals by HM Revenue and Customs to introduce legislation preventing contractors from claiming tax relief on travel and subsistence expenses. From April 2016, contractors working through employment agencies will no longer be able to claim tax relief on these expenses, as they will be deemed to be working under the supervision, direction or control of the agency. Ambiguities in the definition of SDC have also led to concerns that all temporary contractors will potentially fall under the SDC rules. According to a members poll by the Association of Independent Professionals and Self-Employed, that's the IPSC, around 20% of contractors fear the new rules will damage their business, while 75% believe that accepting contracts outside their local area will not be viable if they cannot claim for travel expenses in the future. That is so typical of politicians who think they're doing something clever but end up causing more problems than they're worth. And there's nothing better example of that than the 300,000 businesses that closed on the introduction of IR35, which was introduced to raise more tax and ended up halving it, which is typical. Enough of a rant about that. Something slightly more positive, shared parental leave to extend to working grandparents.
Wow.
Don't know why I'm looking at you. Chancellor George Osborne has announced plans to extend shared parental leave and work and pay to working grandparents. The government intends to bring forward legislation to enable it to introduce a more flexible shared parental leave and pay policy by 2018. The announcement follows the publication of evidence indicating that almost 2 million grandparents have given up work or taken time off to care for grandchildren. More than 50% of mothers rely on grandparents for childcare, and over 60% of working grandparents with grandchildren under the age of 16 provide some sort of childcare at some point, which is fairly obvious, really, isn't it? More details regarding the plans are expected to be released by the government in the first half of 2016. I think that's a fairly sensible approach to it.
Sorry.
You know, if we want people to go to work, childcare is really important, and most people, you know, it becomes a moot point whether it's worth going to work if you've got to pay for loads of childcare.
I know so many grandparents.
Exactly. Just in case anybody's listening, that doesn't mean to say I need to be a grandparent. Thank you, just letting you know that. Also, we've got a warning here. Please be aware of a recent fraud activity that is targeting businesses within the Kent and Medway region, and their cyber attacks based on the recent TalkTalk attack. TalkTalk, the phone and broadband provider, has been the victim of a cyber attack on their website, commonly referred to as a DDoS, distributed denial of service attack. This has led hackers accessing TalkTalk servers and stealing personal data, which could affect over 4 million customers. It's currently unknown exactly what data has been stolen, but TalkTalk has stated there is a chance that some of the names and addresses, dates of birth, email addresses and telephones could have been taken. So you need to protect yourself. Look, you've got to be wary about this. It isn't just TalkTalk. There's a number of these things going on. A number of people ring you up and claim to be Microsoft or some kind of support organisation, and they ask you to log on your computer and hand it over to them via some command strokes. Do not do that. There is no need ever. Listen, if you've ever had a problem with a computer, you know how difficult it is to get a computer company to sort it out. They ain't going to ring you on the off chance and offer to do it for nothing. It ain't happening, folks. It's a scam. It's like all the other scams you get by email that says click here. Never click on anything if you're not 100% sure where it came from. And just because it says NatWest Bank or Yahoo in the title line, it doesn't mean to say it is. So you've got to be very careful about these things. Do please take care when handling anything like that, be it a phone call, be it an email, or any other form of communication. Think about it before you react. If the people are legitimate, they will not mind you questioning what they're doing. Yeah. So, you know, don't panic. Don't be panicked into doing something. So that's my advice. Do think about it. Adrian Kearney, who we were talking to earlier, you started to mention to me something about that you're doing at Rochester.
What we're trying to do in Gillingham at the St. Augustine's Church, 13th of March 2016, we're looking to do a pet service. So it's basically, you know, people having their animals blessed, stroke people that have had bereavement of losing their animals, because obviously it's a very big part of a lot of my work. When you're taking an animal for its last journey and it's been put to sleep, it's not only dealing with a stressed animal, it's dealing with a stressed client.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. And my vicar there has said to me that he's quite impressed with, obviously, the work I do, and he would like to do this pet service. So, like the Vicar of Dibley, it's that type of thing where we're going to bring the animals into the church and then bless them.
Cool. And when's that taking place?
It's the 13th of March, Sunday the 13th of March 2016, and the service is at 3 o'clock.
Cool. Okay, thank you for that. We will put details of that on the Business Bunker website. Just remember that everything you've heard on the show today can be accessed somewhere on the Business Bunker website, either through our blog pages or our community pages. On the community pages, there's a whole list of websites. On the blog pages, there's a whole list of resources and blogs and information about all kinds of things. There's over 150 blogs on there now about all kinds of subjects and topics. Do please have a look at it. Do have a read of some of them and think about some of the things that are there. They're not all provided by me. In fact, none of them are provided provided by me. I think I only ever wrote two of them. Everything's provided by experts in their field or people with a particular message to tell you about. So do please have a look at that. We're still getting some tweets coming in, and I'm going to read those in a moment. Have you got any more emails there, Pen?
I've got one here for Spitfire Networking on the first Thursday of every month at Kings Hill Golf Club. It's no membership fees, relaxed and informal. The next meeting is on the 5th of November, so that's this week. It only costs your time and a £10 contribution to spend a couple of hours networking with the business movers and shakers from all over Kent. Make connections that help your business grow. Coffee and tea are included together with a light buffet. You can register and pay online at spitfirenetworking.com. And once you've registered, please don't forget to pay. Thank you from the command team.
Cool. I've just got loads of things suddenly coming on my phone. I'm trying to catch up with those that I haven't read already. I think I've covered most of those. They come at you from all angles on all, different tweets and different emails.
Do you want me to do one more?
Yeah, go for it.
We love launching Kent's first real-time discovery app.
Oh, okay, yeah.
On the 1st of January, We Love is set to launch the first dedicated Kent-targeted app, which has the potential to revolutionise the way advertising and marketing is done. Sounds interesting.
Well,
with the success of the app, Kent will have a completely new ecosystem for engaging 1.7 million residents of the county, as well as 44 million tourists who visit every year. So it's a tailor-made platform exclusively to Kent businesses to market, promote and engage with a target user group of potentially 80 to 100,000 within 3 months of launch.
Thank you for that. We've had a late flurry of tweets coming in all of a sudden. We've had Jane Unsworth, whose interview we did earlier, and she says, great show, really enjoyed listening to all of your guests, featuring lots of lovely Kent businesses. So thank you for that, Jane. We've also had a new listener, ICOM UK, I-C-O-M, ICOM UK, who have tweeted in to say they're listening for the first time. And Purple Coast and 23 others. Blimey. Let's see if we can find out who some of the others are and what they've said. Bear with me a second. I'll find out in a minute. Hannah Belton. Here we go. Purple Coast, team building and organisational change. And Turner Contemporary have tweeted in to say they're listening in, so thank you for that. And Jim Upholstery. Now that's interesting, isn't it? I didn't know he needed doing. It's Jim, G-Y-M, Jim Upholstery.
Ah.
So I guess they repair the seats on rowing machines and things like that. Because that's a really important thing, because I wear out the seat on my rowing machine. Not. Cool. Anyway. Thank you for that. Thank you for participating. We're fast approaching the end of the show. So as normal now, at this point in the show, I want to let you know what's coming up later on channelradio.co.uk. And this is what we've got.
Welcome on to the New Potatoes Show.
Hey, this is Jamie from the New Potatoes Show. Join me live every Tuesday from 7 until 9 p.m. on channelradio.co.uk. We'll be exploring the best in new music from around the world, having 18 tracks and 2 hot potatoes for your listening pleasure. Tune in. Dig up.
New Potatoes with Jamie Andrews on Channel Radio.
So that's the New Potatoes Show at 7 till 9 p.m. and that is followed immediately by...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
1, 2, 3, get down!
Cool drum beat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So do stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk for the rest of the evening. We've got a great lineup of shows, as always, rounded off by the New Potato Show with 18 tracks of unsigned, new and awesomely up-and-coming music, and that's followed by the wonderful Club Culture Show with Mr. Boy George, the one and only George. So do stay tuned for those. Otherwise, you've been listening to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk with me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely phenomenally gorgeous and the absolutely wonderfully lovely Penny Williams.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. You are welcome here anytime. You are a brilliant co-host and we love having you here.
Thank you.
And you must come more often.
I'd love to.
Yeah, that would be brilliant to have you. Jules will be back next week, allegedly.
Yeah.
Mind you, she said that the week before and then went off scooting around the southern states of America. And we're going to have to spend the next couple of weeks listening to her finish every sentence with the phrase, y'all. Y'all, yeah. Or, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. And all the other things she's come out with and talking about grits and hominies and all kinds. But we'll put up with it. She'll be back
It'll
next
be
week.
Good to have her back.
Yes, it will. It'll be interesting to hear her stories and find out what's going on. I'm sure we'll hear from her next week. But I'd like to say a massive thank you to all of today's show guests, Mr. Adrian Kearney of AK Pet Services, with his invaluable information about how to look after your loved and dear pets during both the fireworks season and the Christmas season, in terms of looking after them and not feeding them the wrong things as well. Big thank you to that. A massive thank you to Barry Brophy of University College Dublin for his insightful information on public speaking and presentation, and we're going to get Barry back at some point and explore the old Blarney, the stories, because that's going to be fascinating. A massive thank you to our four Vox Pop interviewees from the Get Social event, which was Chris, Sandra, Penelope and Jane. We've got four more of those for you next week. But in the meantime, I've been Paul Andrews. You've been listening to the Business Bunker Show. We will be back with you next week. Have a fabulous week.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
And that is followed immediately by...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
1, 2, 3, get down!
Full drum beat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So stay tuned to Channel Radio for the rest of the evening. We have some fabulous shows coming up, ending with Boy George with the Club Culture Show as our late night show. Thank you for listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Jackie Brooker, and all of our superb guests on this week's Business Bunker Show. We will be back with you next week. Have a fabulous week, and we will see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.